Hey, this is Tyler with Wheels of Wisdom Podcast. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to each and every episode. Please follow me on Instagram at wheels.wisdompodcast for updates and guest information. With that, I hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello and welcome to Wheels and Wisdom. Today, my guest is Clayton Schell from Beaver Dam Dodge Jeep. And what else do you sell there? Help me out.
It's a Dodge Jeep. Oh, gosh, now I don't even know.
It's Stellantis. That's all
it's
we care
Stellantis.
About.
It's all Stellantis products. But Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.
Ram, that's the other one. Sir. I forget Ram and Dodge are they're the same thing, but they're like two separate entities. I always forget about
that. They separated after a while, but yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to start off your questions with what do you do at your job in Beaver Dam at the dealership? What's your job?
So I'm one of the sales advisors there. I'm one of the people that you can call just a salesperson. You walk in, I help you with the vehicle, try and make sure that you leave our dealership with that right car.
Okay, how long have you been doing that for?
I've only been doing it for about 2 months.
So what got you into sales? What did you do prior, and then what got you into sales?
Okay, prior to this, I was a tractor-trailer driver, specifically a repo tractor-trailer driver. So right when I turned 21, I got my CDL, I lived in Virginia originally, and I went from Virginia to Utah on a Greyhound bus.
Wow, that's a big trip.
Took 5 days.
Oh, my goodness.
5 days of driving, because we went from Virginia to Texas to Colorado and then to Utah.
That's all around the nation.
Yep, just to drive trucks. So I did that for about 8 months, and then 8 months into it, I was given a job of a lifetime, and they offered me a repo position. So from there, I went from just sitting behind the wheel driving to I flew all around the United States picking up trucks, you know, pulling people out of trucks, you know, getting all the
wow.
taken care of. So I did that for 3 years. And then my buddy here in Wisconsin, him and his wife were pregnant and asked me to be their godfather.
Wow. Then that's what brought you here.
Yeah. So I, you know, kind of got done with doing the crazy all around the world thing and decided to settle down.
That's awesome. And now you're here, and now you've got a godchild.
Yes.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
What's her name?
Celeste.
Celeste, that's a cool name. You don't hear that very often.
No, she's, you know, got me by the finger, man.
Oh, I bet she's got you wrapped around like no one's business. Oh, my goodness.
No, she can ask for anything, and I can't say no. So
how old is she now?
She'll be 2 in September.
Wow. So you've been here for a little while then.
Yeah, I've been here for August will be 2 years.
Okay. And then Virginia, they have kind of similar winters, at least for a bit, don't they, compared to what we have?
Yeah. So in Virginia, it's honestly, I would say, given the last 2 years you guys have had, like winter-wise, we were way, way worse than you guys.
Really?
You guys got pretty low in the temperature, like, you know, the negative 14s. And so this last winter, how cold did it get?
Oh, boy. It was down in the negatives for at least a week, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was brutal. But, I mean, Virginia just got snow and just kept coming and coming and coming. Because, like, we lived up in that. We got the elevation to help us.
Okay.
So that...
I've never been to Virginia, so that's a place I'd like to go visit someday. Here, it's beautiful.
Come out, man. It's pretty in the fall.
Oh, I believe
it. Should definitely go in the fall.
There you go. So any of our viewers that are watching or listening that say, hey, I want to go to Virginia, go in the fall.
Go in the fall.
Don't go in the winter. You're getting snowed in. You're never getting out. So let's continue with you and who you are as a car enthusiast. So what made you a car enthusiast in the first place? What put you down that path?
Honestly, I kind of feel like I just got, like, put into it. And it's just been like, I can't get out of it, if that makes sense. So you're I wouldn't stuck. Say it's by choice. It was just like every job opportunity, every like, you know, I've been really good and I love the mechanic side of things. You know, I used to do welding. I installed HVAC like when I lived back in Virginia.
Wow. Very well versed.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. There's not many people you meet nowadays, especially in our kind of generation, that 100%. Are so good with their hands and that kind of thing. I'm one of them that I can put like an air intake on.
Yep.
And that's about where I stop. So the fact that you know all that stuff, that's very useful.
Sure. Well, my dad was a carpenter too.
Okay.
And he used to, you know, I don't know how to want to describe him, but he was a like kind of squirrel guy where he would just like bring home projects all the time. So he would bring home like Jeeps and we would just, like try to fix it. And then like we'd hold on to them for a couple months and then get rid of them. And then we brought a boat in and we tried to fix the boat. Like these were all things that were free. They didn't run, they didn't work. So it just like they came to us. We tried to make them go.
Well, no better way to learn than to sit down and actually try it, huh?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I got like thrown into it. Never, right.
Come here, son. Come here.
Yeah. Hold the flashlight.
We're going to take off the heads and then we're going to tell you. Oh, you had no choice. Wow.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and then, I mean, some people, when they're forced into it like that, especially like kids into sports and stuff, they get forced into that world. And then as they grow up and mature, they want nothing to do with it. Sure. They just want to leave. My cousin, unfortunately, he was kind of thrown to basketball that way.
Okay.
And he still plays recreationally, but goodness, it doesn't have the passion like what he used to have because his dad forced him. Sure. So you kept that passion.
Well, I think what helps a bunch with that, though, is like you got to love it.
Sure.
And like I did love it. I mean, like you're working with your dad, you know, on cars and boats and stuff like that. I mean, like, what's not to love?
So what's the craziest thing your dad ever brought home and said, we're going to get this to try to run? What's like your best story?
It's going to be probably what we got coming up here soon.
Okay.
With the van.
Well, let's get into that. But before we do, I want to talk a little more about your car enthusiast side.
Sure.
So what's kind of some events that you enjoy going to? What do you enjoy? Is it car shows? Is it cruises? Is it drag events? Is it truck pulls? What's your passion? Where can people find you?
Find me?
Yeah.
It's going to be like truck pulls are fun.
Okay.
I like a good truck pull. I like some derby, like demolition derby. A good race. I haven't been to too many races. I think like you see about two or three and like I'm kind of raced out unless they're like exciting. What I really love about cars and what I enjoy the most about it is like the car, whether it's a truck, whether it's a Supra, whether it's whatever it is, reflects the driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I'm never going to go to a racetrack, and all the racetracks I've been to have never been just for me to go. It's always been there to support someone.
Oh, that's cool.
Like okay. The person who like poured like all that time, money, building the race car, getting it to go, those sleepless nights, you know, I turned a couple of wrenches with them too. Like that is to me what a car enthusiast is, your car is just an extension of you.
That's
of
awesome.
Your love
that
for
individuality
vehicles.
Exactly. What stands out.
Yeah. 100%.
So what do you have any friends that you can think of now that has a race car that you say, oh my goodness, I need this or I want to drive this on track?
They're all in Virginia.
Oh, they're all Virginia.
I haven't been to a race since I left Virginia.
Okay, well, let's go Virginia. What's a friend that had a vehicle that you're like, okay, I need to take this on track? That would be so much fun. What's the one that stands out to you?
Oh gosh. Like if I could just pick any car.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I'm throwing these on the spot to you. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Like, I just want to, like, pedal down, watch it go. I know there's so much hype around them, but there's just something about, like, an old American muscle car with those big tires on the back. Just, you know, blowing smoke out the back and just racing down. Again, I know it's overhyped, but probably just, like, an old Charger.
So would that be drag strip or is this like tracks with turns? It's modified.
Whoever's wrench I'm helping, okay. Honestly.
Old Chargers are beautiful. That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
My dad's dream car we talked about last week is an A-body. He had a Valiant Duster when he was about our age.
Sure.
And that's the vehicle he wants with a 340 or a 440 six pack. And he wants to redo that dream.
Sure.
That's where, so you guys are very much Bopar fans, very much so.
Very good.
So excellent events. Oh my goodness, the race would be so much fun with your friends. Oh my.
I just want to point out though, like we lived in the mountains of Virginia, so it's not like we got to sit here and be like, I'm looking for like a Mazda or like whatever it is. It was like, hey, here's this car that rolled down the side of the mountain that's been in like the wreck dump for like 2 months and like it kind of starts. It's like, I bet you we could get that on the track.
Oh,
those were the cars that like we worked with.
Sounds like a lot of fun though.
Yeah, so like I'm not someone who really knows, like I can't tell you like what the difference between like a Supra or like a Mazda or like some of those things, like when it really comes down to it, other than, you know, branding.
Sure.
But like to get it to go is like what I can do.
That's where your passion is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was so much fun. So let's talk about your vehicles, because you sent me a few pictures. And the first one I have is this beautiful Dodge truck. Now, I've showed a few people at work this thing that enjoy trucks, and all they say is, what a beautiful truck.
Yeah.
They absolutely love the Dodge truck. So tell me about this. What'd you do to it? Where'd you get it?
Okay.
This was your first vehicle, if I read the the messages right. Okay.
So this was my first vehicle, and, you know, I'm 17 years old. Like, I just turned 17. I'm about to turn 17, whatever time it was. And at the time, Mom had it set up where, like, you can't, like, get your driver's license until you have a car.
Mm.
Like, if you want your car, or if you want your driver's license, you have to have a car. And so I'm about to turn 17. I've had my learners for a while. It's time to get a car. So I just went Craigslist, just looking through cars, trying to find something. And I came across this one. This is not my picture of it. Like I said, I didn't have a picture of it. This is one I found on the internet, but it's almost identical. The only thing different is, like, the wheels.
Okay.
Or the rims, rather. But mine had a toolbox on the back of it that was, like, it was an $800 toolbox, and I paid the guy for the truck, I want to say, like, $1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And I always joked about it because, like, I really just paid $200 for the truck. I mean, the toolbox was immaculate. The truck, the guy who had it before me, it was a beautiful truck, but he really just tore it apart.
Oh, it got used, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, he had, like, caulk in, like, the gasket. Oh. So every time it rained, it just poured inside.
One would have waterproofed a vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful truck, but the problem that I ran into, and I still wish I had this truck to this day.
Yeah.
The problem that it had was he took the wiring across the motor.
Ooh.
So when it got hot, every wire just melted together. I replaced the alternator in that truck 8 times.
Rewired it.
Like, it was a constant. Dodge is not great for knowing, like, or hasn't been great at, you know, now they've gotten a lot better. A lot of trucks have.
Sure.
But then they already weren't known for their wiring. This one was just a nightmare. I mean, I felt like every time I hit the brakes and the brake light came on, the truck just stalled. And I got a funny story about it, actually.
Okay.
So right before I sell it, it's about like a month before I sell it, because, you know, I'm a 17-year-old, you know, broke, still in high school. You know, you don't have money to fix a truck.
No, not especially with what you needed, unfortunately.
I needed a whole pit crew to keep this thing running, and it was just me and a weekend. So, like, right before I sold this thing, like a month before, I was driving down, like, one of the towns to go, I think it was, like, grocery shopping or something. I can't even remember what I was doing, because the part that sticks with me the most is, like, it died at a stoplight, and I can't get it to turn on, and I can't get it to turn on. And it was fortunately one of those stoplights where, like, it just stays red and, like, never changes. It's just red. And it eventually turns green, and I can't get this thing to start.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, there was a slight angle in the, like, the going down, and I just see at the bottom of this hill, at the bottom of the stoplight, is this little parking lot. So I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2". And I opened up my door and literally stuck my foot out and skateboarded. I skateboarded this truck, and I hope, like, someone had, like, a dash cam or pulled their phone out. I've been trying to find this video. If it's out there, send it to me, please.
Someone's got to have a red pickup with a guy skateboarding it downhill. There's too much technology nowadays. Someone's got
to. For real, dude. No, I did. I literally skateboarded this truck across, like, it was like the two lane.
Oh.
Like, it was a massive busy stoplight. Oh. And I skateboarded it just in front of everybody, just into this parking spot. And then I had to walk. It was 2 miles to the AutoZone.
Oh.
Because what I did is it had electrical issues. So I brought, like, the wiring to, or the voltage meter with me.
Mm-hmm.
So the battery died. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
So I had to walk 2 miles to go get a battery, and then walk 2 miles with a full battery.
Oh, that's heavy,
and
too.
And at 17 years old, you don't realize how heavy a full battery is.
Especially truck batteries. That's got to be, what, 45, 50 pounds?
It was too much, dude.
Yeah.
I walked it all the way back, and it's just me and, like, this, like little, it was a storage parking lot.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, there's people coming in and out, and there's just this 17-year-old kid trying to, like,
biceps around, fire faces, bright red character. This battery. Oh, my goodness.
So it was a fun truck. I miss that truck. I think the biggest thing that I missed about it was it was an inline six.
Oh, you don't see many of those.
Inline slant six.
Interesting.
And it was just an amazing engine.
What year is this truck?
This is an 83.
83, okay. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
83, inline six slanted. And that was a gas engine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think of, I mean, I don't know a lot about Dodge trucks.
Sure.
I didn't know they dropped an inline slant six in their trucks. That's quite cool.
And it was, you know, everyone in the South and just most people with trucks anyways, they want that like big, loud, roaring truck.
Sure. Or a diesel.
Or a diesel, you know, rolling coal or whatever it is. But this one, what I loved so much about it is that it was an old truck and it was a quiet truck.
Because like the straight sixes are pretty torquey though, aren't they?
It had some get up and go.
Yeah, I believe it.
Not really. If you went too far, like I said, it would just die. So like you had to really feather the gas a little bit on it. But when it was rolling, it just sounded like a sawing machine.
Well, that's cool.
Just like kind of ticking away or under, not knocking, ticking away, but just kind of like, you know, just rotating, spinning. The truck didn't shake. It was very quiet, you know, being an older truck like that. And so I miss it so, so much.
So this truck, if you could have it back again and you have in a limited budget, what is your dream of turning that into what you really want?
Turning it into what I really want, I would definitely, it has like some paint. Well, again, this isn't my picture.
Right.
Mine had some paint kind of like sun bleached a little bit, so I would definitely like just strip the whole thing and then just repaint it.
Same color or different?
Honestly, I kind of like it.
It's a pretty color.
It is really pretty color.
No, is it red? Is it maroon?
It's more of a maroon.
It's really pretty.
It's kind of like that like wine red. I would keep it to that, and then honestly, and I'm not saying this like as like a lifted truck guy, like being one of those, but I just wanted it to be just like 4 inches taller.
Yeah, a small lift can look really kind of classy. Small on
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with it though is like if you're putting a lift kit in, you got to get slightly bigger tires just to like even out the look of the rim or the wheel well. But yeah, no,
that would look good.
I honestly would just tear everything off of it and then just like redo it. Like take the grill off, take the bumper off, and then just like re-chrome it and just make it like as restored as possible. One of the only modifications would just be like, again, just slightly taller.
Sure. And what about the slant six? Would you keep that and build it a little bit? Yeah. Or
I just tear the whole thing apart and then just get it like as close, no budget, as close to factory as we can.
That would be so cool. Yeah. That'd be a beautiful, beautiful truck.
Yeah.
That's something to look for in the future. That'd be awesome to have. Yep.
And I don't know if you can see it very well, but it has the hood ornament.
I do see that. What is that hood ornament?
It's just a ram's head.
Oh, that's
just
cool.
Like coming out of the
Did
front.
Did yours have that?
Yep.
Oh.
That's what I loved so much about it.
That's pretty. It's like that Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
Little emblem for Dodge.
That Appalachian Virginia Rolls Royce. That, you know, when it's on another car.
You had your spirit of ecstasy sticking out.
You know, when it's on another vehicle, it, you know, is a wealth and power. And like
sure.
When it's on a truck like that, it's like, yeah, this is just the broke man's claw.
I'm surprised no one stole that because my aunt had a...
I am too.
Well, she had a Jaguar. Remember Jaguar had the bouncing Jaguar that was on. She had the thing ripped off like four times. I mean, it was just constantly someone was coming over in a parking lot and pulling that thing off.
Well, it did pull off. But it had a like spring wire, so you could grab it and pull on it.
Yeah.
But it would like stay attached, and I don't know why. But there was like a spring in the hood that you could pull.
It is like your spirit of ecstasy because Rolls Royce does that same thing. You go to grab it, it sucks right in.
Well, it doesn't suck in. It you can just like pull it a little
still,
bit.
I mean, it's gonna be harder to steal.
I guess
the Jaguar one, you just break it and you just walk away. She lost her so many times, and they're not cheap either, but she loved that Jaguar pouncing. So now, your next vehicle, which I can say I have never seen something like this before. I don't know how rare it is. I don't know what it is. I looked at the name you sent me, and I mean, was it an ice cream truck? Was it a delivery van? What is it, and where the heck did you get it? That's what I want to know, first of all.
Where we got it is, I don't know. So this was my dad's.
Okay.
This is not mine.
Sure.
I would never make a purchase. As dumb as because it's a crazy, crazy.
Because even the backside that you sent me, I mean, when I I kid you not, I showed this to my cousin. I saw him over the weekend.
Sure.
And I said, hey, I got this guy coming. We're going to be talking. I want to show you this vehicle that he's got. I showed it to him. He goes, man, looks like a prison van. That's the first thing he said. He said, you know those like old Australian prison vans? He said, I could see someone sitting in the back of that.
Honestly, I think a prison van rode better than this one.
Oh, no.
So this was my dad's work truck.
Okay.
And where he found it, I don't know. I know the history of it, but I don't remember exactly like what town he went.
Sure.
But this is a 1950s Olson curbside. Hmm. And what it originally is like not an ice cream machine, but like it was a delivery van for milk or, you know, I don't know what all of them were. I know for this one specifically, it was for a chicks. And not girls' chicks,
oh, no,
like chicken chicks.
I'm following.
Yeah. Trust
don't
me,
worry,
is,
everyone.
This is not a chick mobile.
Don't worry, everyone. He's not putting girls in the back of it and driving them somewhere to never be seen again. No,
trust
come on.
Me. If that pulled up, you know, there's not a girl within a 100-mile radius.
Everyone's scattering.
Exactly. So it's, but we called it the chick mobile, or at least I did.
Right. I mean, it's a perfect name for it.
Yeah. So like, this one was for like baby chickens.
Sure.
And it just hauled them back and forth between two towns. You know, they, again, it's the 1950s. So the chicks would be hatched. Mm-hmm. And I think it was in like Harrisonburg, Virginia. And I don't know where it got drove into, mm-hmm. but it would just drive it to that town, to that farmer's market. And then they'd all get sold and just drive back. So if you go to the backside of it,
yeah, let me
like
get
it
that
was.
Picture again. Yeah.
That's all that ventilation.
Oh, of
is.
Course, they got to be able to breathe.
Yeah, because that thing gets hot.
Oh, I believe it. So I had a lady at work. She's from Canada, and her dad was one of the last chicken farmers in the area, and he had chicks, and he transported them back and forth. And she's about the age he would have had one of these. Now I don't know if they had them in Canada, mm-hmm. but I'm going to ask her when I see her next. I'm going to say, "Have you seen one of these? Do you know what it is? And have you used it before?"
Sure.
I bet she has. So now your dad bought this from where? Where do you find this? What was his idea?
So my dad's a carpenter, and he just wanted like a work truck, mm-hmm. But. He's an old man. Sorry, Dad. I mean, like, when I say an old man, it's not like just like he's physically old. He's just old world old.
Sure.
And so, like, he doesn't lives, like these vehicles.
He lives in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know when he was born. Probably the 1800s, honestly. But, like, he's just, like, he's just stuck on, like, those old vehicles that, like, work.
Sure.
And, like, this was one of those trucks where, okay. like, it's old and it works and it just does what he needs it to do. I mean, you could foot, like, if sheets of plywood in there, no problem.
Oh, I bet. It looks pretty
ladders,
big.
Like, this thing was just a, like, a toolbox for him.
And then your dad gets this, and then he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm dropping an IROC Z engine in it. Is that right?
No, so... The history of the truck also is the truck had a fire in it. The engine caught fire.
Okay.
And actually, you see the grill there, that little like panel on the front right mm-hmm. above the grill under the windows. That was where you check the oil.
Oh, that's
that opens up and like you
so
can.
So is this one of those engines that sit between you and the yep. passenger?
Yep. It's got a doghouse in there.
Crazy.
And like it had a latch and you can open it up and like there's the engine.
Wow.
So you can imagine. Just how loud all that thing is. Just rolling down the
rolling
highway.
3,500 RPM down the highway.
Exactly.
7 miles an hour.
Oh,
my
exactly.
goodness.
So, like, the truck had a fire in it, and, like, that engine burned out, and it just sat for years. Mm-hmm. Well, they had a, not from, like, this car, but they had an 88, was it Camaro? Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Again, this was before the truck was, so I don't know. I just know the story. They had a 88 Camaro 350 V8 small block that was rebuilt with aluminum headers for racing.
Oh, my.
And they built it for a customer, and it was just sitting in the back of the shop with a tarp over it. And this truck had been sitting there for years. And so they asked the question, could I?
I mean, that's the age-old question. What if we took a racing V8 and dropped it in something that will never see the track, the light of day of a track, ever?
Exactly. And, like, that thing's not built for it. it's a the Olsen curbside body, but it's on a GMC frame.
Oh my.
Yeah, so this is just a Frankenstein of cars.
That's one of those jokes you see where they walk into like an auto parts store and say, hey, I need a piece for my GMC frame on an Olsen body with a Chevy 350. By the way, it's got...
Yeah, and you know what they told you? Yeah, good luck. Thoughts and prayers, man. Yeah. Let's see what you find.
Now, I mean, I understand what loud to be there, but when you think about a racing engine that's already designed to be louder than your standard engine, that thing must have rumbled and rattled with that metal body like no one's business.
Well, then on top of that, too, it's hollow. Oh.
So did you wear headphones when you were in it?
We, like, all the time, earplugs. We never talked to each other. I mean, we're sitting closer than you and I are. And, like, we just sat there in silence.
That's the original Aston Martin Valkyrie where you had to wear headphones.
It really was. I mean,
You see, Aston, you're far behind. They've been doing this since 1950.
Yeah. I mean, and then the other thing is you can see on the side there, my older brother bought him train horns to put on it.
I was going to ask about that. Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Because that was just the only thing, you know, it wasn't quiet enough. So that was its one problem.
When you blew the train horns, would the entire side of the body rumble because of the...
Well, if you go to the side picture, too.
Yeah, let me get back to that side image. This one here.
Yeah, so that door slides.
Okay.
But it's old. And so it just shook, like, as it went down the road. So, like, everything in there just rattled.
Did your dad like to drive that?
That's what he says.
More power to you. I give you props.
I mean, it was recognizable. And again, going back to that conversation about, like, what I love about cars is, like, it's the extension of the driver.
Yeah.
And, like, this truck was just an extension of him.
Sure.
Stubborn. outdated, you know, no fashion sense, but and nothing matched. But it was just like you saw that truck and you're like, well, there's that, you know,
because you probably hear him from 2 miles away at that rate with that engine.
It was a great truck. He ended up selling it. The guy is turning it into a food truck.
Oh, it's not built
yet, but he's doing
the conversion.
Yeah. And then if you look up there in the windows, those two fans.
Yeah.
That was the AC.
Oh, well, I mean, it'll circulate. It'll work its way around.
Your AC was those two fans and the doors open.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to, what is it, UPS that does that FedEx?
Exactly.
Wow.
And then the heater was just from the engine.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I imagine it got really hot.
You roasted in that thing.
Because I've got a friend that has a really powerful PC.
Okay.
And his room is, I mean, he's got a decent sized bedroom.
Sure.
But man, he plays like Call of Duty in there for 3-4 hours. That room is a sauna. Yeah, that room is a sauna. I imagine that would have been the same way.
Yeah.
Wow. I still don't understand it. I'd love to know the aerodynamics behind it, how you have vents in the back of a vehicle and the air passes over, but then somehow comes back in. I never understood how that worked, but I'd love to know the aerodynamics behind that.
Well, I can answer not that question, but I can tell you got like 14 miles to the gallon.
Oh, excellent.
Which was actually surprising.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, it's really not. It was like 14 miles a gallon. Oh, and the other thing, too, was it had leaf spring suspension, not like air ride, airbags.
Boy.
Just solid leaf spring. And you could put, I want to say, I don't know the number, so I'm going to guess, but I think it was around like you could put like 5,000 pounds in there. And then it actually was comfortable to ride because of that suspension. Goodness.
So every bump must have just been a spine-breaking, miserable. And the seats don't, I mean, I can't see the seats, but I imagine they're not comfortable.
Well, the passenger seat was a school bus seat.
Oh, old school bus seat, too.
Exactly. No seatbelt, by the way.
Oh, boy. Because I drive a bus for my job, and it's only a 24-footer, and those back seats are decent.
Exactly.
But the old school bus seats were just miserable. Well,
it's just a bolt or a bus seat just bolted to
the seat vibrates, too.
Yeah. There wasn't anything that didn't vibrate on it, man. It was miserable.
With all that vibration, I'm surprised it didn't attract more women.
It was the chick-mobile, man. Let me tell you, but not for the reasons you think. But it was a fun truck, and like we always joked around with the suspension. Like,
sure,
if you went over a ladybug, you threw your hip out.
Oh.
I mean, it was that bad in it.
Wow.
And
What a crazy vehicle. Does your dad ever talk about, man, I wish I would have kept that?
No. I'll talk to him about it sometimes. In fact, when I was getting the pictures for it last week, I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, what, do you miss it? And he was like, I wish I had more money to put into it, but I'm so glad it's gone.
Did he decide to get something a little more comfortable for this?
Yeah, he ended up, I think he got like a, I want to say like a 2014, 2015, like, I think it's a Toyota truck or something like that.
Oh, that must have felt like a slumber bed or something.
Yeah, he hates it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's too comfortable.
Well, it's not that. It's just like, and I think this is just a problem that like all modern cars run into. It's just like, it's so much technology. Mm-hmm. It's so much to go wrong. And like the cost to fix it is just outrageous.
Yeah. I mean, back with that vehicle, you're right. He could have opened that up. He could have tore the whole engine apart, put it back together, and it would have been functional. These new ones, there's so many wires and ECUs and warning and this and this and this and modules. Man, you dare not touch anything. You barely, I'm afraid sometimes to wash my engine bay.
Oh, I don't.
fair enough. I do. I get concerned because, man, water gets in one wrong spot.
Yep.
Forget it. I remember when we were talking about technology, I had a DSG fluid change.
Okay.
And I had it done for the first time, and I didn't really know what to expect. So I took it to a race shop, which this race shop does Porsches, it does Vipers, it does anything you name of. So my Volkswagen was just like a, nah, here he comes. But the only guys I knew that would do it for a decent price besides the VW dealer, but they were pretty expensive. So I took it to them and I had them do it, and they missed one code. It's something to do with resetting the system. They missed one thing, and I lost a whole bunch of features. Backup camera was off, sensing was off, all these things. So I took it back to him, and he's like, oh, we missed one thing. They fixed it, and it was great. I could have never solved that. There's no way I was tracing that.
No, and like the other thing too is it's like it almost forces you to, like, you have to get the warranty.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
oh,
you have to. Like, we're not even in the age of like maybe you could fix it on yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I went to do my truck that I've got parked outside. I got a 2018 GMC. Mm-hmm. It's a Sierra. And there was one day when I bought it, I was like, I'm just going to change the oil. Mm. I'm just going to do the oil filter. I'm going to do it myself. I've always done it myself, you know, on that old 83 Dodge. Like,
sure,
you did it yourself. And I changed the oil, and it cost me $114 to do.
Oh, boy.
And I looked at what it would have cost me to actually go and get it changed, and it was like $108.
Wow.
And I'm just like, which is expensive for an oil change, but it was also like the filters, and I got air filters.
And a ton of oil though too.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the same work and the same stuff I got, and again, it wasn't just oil. I bought other stuff too. Would have cost me like $108. And that was after labor.
That's crazy.
And so I was like, I like new cars. They're comfortable. I enjoy them. The technology's great. I love being able to like press that little button on the steering wheel and be like, hey, take me to Walmart.
Sure.
Or like, take me wherever. And it's just like, boop, there you go. Or like, I like the spaceship feel that it gives. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not the car lingo, but
does.
Like,
it does.
It feels futuristic and like, it feels good. But I want that like working on it aspect back.
Yeah, if a company, goodness, I don't even know how they could do with modern safety systems, but if a company could redo that old anyone can fix it kind of thing, they'd sell so many of those.
Yeah.
I really truly believe that's the real I want to do it myself, fix it up enthusiast.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Now you sent me another vehicle, and it's a, if I'm correct, is a Honda CRZ.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Was this something that you owned for a bit?
That was my second car.
Okay.
So the minute that truck, like, it was usually about every day it was dying on me.
Okay.
My old Dodge. About every day that thing was dying, and it wasn't stable and stuff. And I was like, I can fix it. I know I can. And so it's just like, you know, you carry it had the toolbox in it, man. It had $800 toolbox on it. I paid $200 for the truck. And so like, I just kept tools in it. And like, I just kept like, anytime something went wrong, I fixed it. And just kept going. And again, like, that's how like me and my dad grew up. It's like, we had that old curbside Olsen. Like, you think that thing was stable and never needed repairs? You're out of your mind. But then it became to the point where it was like multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
It started dying. And then like it was costing more and more. And like it just wasn't a reliable vehicle. you know, you're a teenager, you're still in high school, you're almost out of high school, like, you want to start dating and stuff, right. But like, no girl's gonna get in a truck with you. That you go like a couple blocks up and then you have to like rebuild the engine, like it's not gonna happen.
Sure.
And so I was like, I need to get out of it. And so I went to like the local dealership, and they just had this little CRZ. It was a really fair price. It was like pre-COVID, so like everything was good then, basically, for interest rates and all. And I picked it up, and it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy to go from like that truck that was just always breaking down to like this thing.
And Honda's they don't die. They really don't.
I tried to kill it. It just didn't die.
Did you have the automatic or the manual?
This was the manual. Or sorry, the automatic.
Because I never understood, because I know how a hybrid works, and the engine's kind of sort of a generator until it really needs to kick in and charge the battery and stuff. I don't know how a manual works with a hybrid. I don't know either.
That just sounds like an oxymoron.
It does. I've never seen it since.
Yeah.
It's never been done that I've seen a hybrid manual, because I mean, you're using the engine all the time, you can't change gears in an electric car
unless the manual or the stick shift is obviously for the transmission. And so unless you've got like half electric, half gas, and like same transmission, kind of makes sense.
If anyone watching on here, whether it be video or audio, if they know how a manual CRZ hybrid works, I'd love to read a 5-minute comment on how that works.
Well, obviously it was so successful they kept doing it.
Yeah, because right? I mean, they're cool little cars. I love the way they look.
It was sporty. I mean, to go from that truck to this thing, and like, it was an automatic, sure, but it also had the sport mode on it. And it really was.
I would have loved to see Honda take that cute, pretty little, very aggressive platform and drop like a K motor in it, like a K24. Take it like an S2000 engine, drop it in there. How much fun that would have been. Because if they were pretty little cars, every time I see one on the road, they're like, man, that's a good looking little car.
Well, when I drove it, I didn't feel pretty. I felt, you know, pretty manly and, you know, awesome. But sure.
I agree. They can be very manly. I've seen some with like sporty wheels on. They put spoilers on the back of them, and they do look very good.
Yeah, mine was stock. I didn't have it for very long. I only had it for about, I want to say like 2 years.
Okay.
But I only had it for 2 years because that's when I started like my trucking and doing the repo and all of that stuff.
Sure, sure.
And I just didn't need a car, so I just sold it and carried on. But there was some modifications I wanted to put in this thing eventually. I would have loved to have known what it would be like with the turbo and like just souped up, ready to go.
That would be fun. Was yours this? It was the red color, right?
Yeah.
It was red. So you had multiple red vehicles.
Every vehicle I have, even like the company I worked for, trucking, like all red trucks.
Really?
I've always owned a red truck, and it's not by choice. It's just how it's happened.
I mean, red's a great color. You can't go wrong with red.
Yeah, and I was like, at this point, it's like, it's just who I am. Like I said, the extension of just yourself. No, this thing was a go-kart, though. I mean, it was, like, literally from, like, the road to the bottom of it was, like, 4 inches.
Yeah,
I mean, that thing was, like, on the ground.
From jumping out of a truck to crawling out of a CRC.
Yeah, dude.
I bet it cornered pretty good.
It did. Okay, so I lived, and you know, you're not hearing me tell this story.
No, I didn't
hear it. And none of you are hearing this either.
No.
Lived up in the mountains of Virginia, right? Windy back roads, everything else like that. I found out you could take a couple of those turns at 90 miles an hour.
Oh, that's fun.
Like, there was a couple of them that you could just, if it was nighttime and like you didn't see the headlights coming from around the corner, and you got in that far lane, just whipped it around.
Hit your racing line. Yep.
This one was fun. This one was a lot of fun.
Did you put different tires on it? Should we make them a little stickier? Or were they still stock tires?
They were stock. That was the whole thing. I really wanted to see how far the stock thing could go.
It was front wheel drive, yeah?
Yeah.
So take it till it goes straight. I like it.
Yeah. I was like, if something breaks on it, I'm just going to like fix it and like upgrade it.
Sure.
But I wanted to see like how like hard I could push this stock engine. I got it up to 125, which is not super impressive.
Wait, for that car it is.
But for a stock little Honda.
I mean, how much? 120, 130 horse, maybe?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It wasn't bad. I wasn't surprised with it.
Oh my goodness, that is so much fun. So cool.
So no, she was a lot of fun. I miss her. I miss all my cars and trucks, honestly.
So out of all the vehicles, it sounds like the pickup truck would be the one that if you could bring anything back, that'd be the one.
Yeah. I miss it, but I only just miss going fast. Like, to be honest, like, if I had the money to get it again, I'd just get a different car. Like, just another fast car.
Sure.
One with a lot of, class and character to it, for sure.
I like it. So what would be your dream car? Now that we've seen and learned about your vehicles, what is, let's say, $300,000 budget, you're a very rich man, and you go get something crazy. Where are you going?
Say, I've thought about this a lot, and I don't know if I want to go old school or new school.
Mm-hmm. Because $300,000 gets you a pretty darn rare.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, there's the old school, muscle cars, obviously. I mean, if I were to go old, it would be that. Maybe, like I said, the Dodge pickup truck again. I'm more of a truck guy myself. I always have been. I repoed them. It's just... I love trucks. I love the capability behind them. I know. It'd be a probably 1920 Dallahay.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It's a European car.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And the closest thing to it that it was based off of, you know, Captain America Red Skull.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Red Skull's car?
Oh, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's based off of the Dallahay.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. That'd be a cool car.
I should have sent you a picture to show it, but look it up, guys.
It's easy to find. Look up Captain America, Red Skull, look up his car.
Exactly.
I know what you're talking about. It's a big boat.
Well, the original car is not that big.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not at all. But the overall shape of it is based off the Dallahay.
What engine would you drop in that?
Honestly, probably that Bugatti, straight V16, because it's got that long hood on it.
Sure, you can fit anything you want.
Exactly. I'm a rich man, $300,000. So I think I'll spend all of that plus some on the engine.
That's a great idea. Old car, old body, fires up and you go, that's not right.
Yeah, no. It is a European car, so there's some of those downfalls on it. But I love just the look of it. It's it's curved. It's just a beautiful it's a sexy car.
That's awesome.
It's a really sexy car.
That would be fun. Now, I want to jump back into your profession as a car salesman. I know you're just starting to get into it.
Sure.
I got a few questions for you. So as someone who's worked in a dealership before, I've been a porter. And so I never really got to see the sales side of things. But I've talked to so many people that either own vehicles or are going to buy vehicles. And there's so many individuals that I've spoken to that have been anxious and they say, I got to go to the dealership. I'm going to check out this vehicle I saw online. I know the salesman's going to walk up to me. I know he's going to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. I know he's going to try to sell me something today. I don't know if I'm ready. How can a customer come to you or your dealership and be more prepared for that salesman to then show up and ask those questions?
It's a great question. When we come up to you and we're trying to talk to you, that's all we're trying to do is just talk to you. Obviously we want to sell a car and make money on it. But all that really is just trying to figure out hey, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. When you go to the dentist or go to the doctor, for example, let's just say there's something wrong with you. Does the doctor tell you what's wrong with you?
That's
or do
a good
you
point.
Tell the doctor I'm feeling this, I've got this, there's all these, I'm coughing, what's going on with me? And so what my job is and what we try to do is we're just trying to be hey, what is it you're wanting?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you, essentially, to use the doctor analogy? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're actually needing and wanting in your life? Because you might have researched the perfect car, and it is the perfect car for you. It fits all your kids, your pets, it does all of this stuff. But it doesn't have a tow hitch.
Oh.
And actually, that model of vehicle is illegal to put a tow hitch on. And there are some cars out there. Not illegal, but there's some loops you have to jump through. Illegal is
sometimes
wrong.
Sometimes the tech underneath the vehicle is so difficult. It's not even possible to put something under there.
Yeah.
It's almost, I mean, exactly. You have to have some custom made, and if you don't exactly. have a couple $1,000s to throw into it, there's no
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Well, we have someone, and obviously I can't say who or what, but sure. like, they bought a Chrysler Pacifica,
mm-hmm.
and they want to put a tow hitch on it. And it's like, they need that tow hitch, but it's a van. And so, like, it doesn't come with a tow hitch.
And I'm sure the towing capacity isn't what it should be, because it's not designed to have one.
And, like, they're using it for, like a bike rack. So they're not even, like, putting, like, weight on it.
Sure.
But, like, that's a hoop we have to jump through. And oh, so, like, you boy. Found the perfect car.
Yeah.
But, like, now you're looking at spending, like, I don't know, like, $3,000 after buying the car.
Right.
And so all I'm trying to do is saying, like, hey, is this actually what you're wanting? Have you considered these options? And so, like, going to the dealership, I love the people who know what they want, but mm-hmm. are flexible with options, because it just makes it easier to talk to you about what it is you actually want.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Your doctor analogy makes perfect sense. Yeah. If someone comes up to you, the doctor never tells you, well, you look like you need a you need your gallbladder taken out.
Exactly.
They'll never say that to you. They need to find out. They need to investigate. And your job is to investigate. That's yeah. really good.
And if, like, a car salesman comes out and says, like, that's the car for you, just run. Mm. Like,
that's good advice.
A car is the second largest purchase that you will ever make. First one's your house, then it's your car.
Yeah, so that's, like, a good point.
It's a lot of money for it. Make sure, like, this is what you want. This is what you're trying to get. My job is just trying to figure out, like, I'm supposed to be the expert in this. I'm not right now because I'm new.
You're getting there, Yeah.
And so, like, for me, it's like, I have to know all the specs, all the towing capacity, like, what models come with what. Mm-hmm. If you want, like, you know, something that's got, like, heated steering wheel, heated seats, like, all of this stuff, but you don't want leather, well, you might have to give up the heated steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this package doesn't come with that.
That's a lot of stuff to learn and memorize.
It is, yes.
That's a lot. So now that we've got the idea of what a customer can do, and they don't have to be as afraid to show up to a lot and talk to somebody and know that they're just trying to help them. Now, if you are going up to somebody and that person is a little anxious, how can you make them more comfortable? What's a trick that you've learned in your short time that you've been doing sales that maybe another salesman who's new or someone thinking of going to sales says, I'm kind of afraid to approach somebody because I don't know how they're going to address me. Some people get really freaked out. Some people get really angry
sure.
because you're walking up to them. Sure. How can you approach somebody and just say, hey, I'm here to help?
Sure. Don't push them.
Hmm.
Like, if I walk up to someone and they don't want to, like, talk, or they're gonna get angry or whatever, just be like, hey guys, like, can I show you a couple cars? No? Okay. Well, if you need anything, let me know. And it's like, I want to help you, but also, like, I'm not going to, like, force them. A lot of people just want to shop. They just want to look. They just want to see the car. They want to touch it. They want to do this, but they're not ready to buy. Mm-hmm. And so they're not wanting that salesperson standing right there next to them telling them about how great that car is, when, like, it's not that great of a car to them.
Sure, that makes sense.
Like, they just want to see some of its things. So for me, it's just like, just don't push them.
That's a great idea.
And it's like, I'm not trying to, and again, like, if someone's forcing you to buy a car, if someone's pushing you into, like, buying it, just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be done with it.
And with you not forcing them and them knowing your name and what you look like and who you are, I assume they're more likely to come back and say, hey, that guy that wasn't so pushy, I'd like to talk to him now that I'm ready to buy something.
That's the hope. Yeah. There is a downside to it, because, like, when you're ready and when you're in the market for shopping for a vehicle, like, you're ready now, today, and there's the internet, there's so many cars out there that are just jumping at you. So sometimes the guy who's not pushy just gets thrown down. But again, I'm learning. Fair.
Sure.
I'm figuring it out.
Sure. I did sales for a little bit. I worked at a gym for a while before I went back to my senior work that I did. And the sales work for me was near impossible, because they knew my job was to sit down and try to sell them a personal training package. And I would approach somebody that had, let's say, I had a guy I talked to that had bad form on a Romanian deadlift. And his back was just, every time he stood up, he was grabbing his lower back going, oh, that didn't feel too good. And I went up to him and said, hey, do you mind if I give you some pointers to fix your form? And he's like, no, I'm good. Because he thought that I was going to then sit him down and sell him.
Yeah.
So sales is difficult, but your approach of not being pushy I hope people come back to you, and I hope we get some viewers that are watching that are near Beaver Dam that say, hey, I want to go check out Clayton. I want to go talk to him. He seems like a cool guy and someone that knows his stuff. So if you do go into Beaver Dam Dodge at Napleton, look at Clayton and please tell him that you saw him on Wheels of Wisdom.
So that no, would be please. Cool. I mean, so I've got my own desk. It's right there by the door. We're the Napleton that's across the street from Aldi.
Okay.
That's the CDJR one. You know, walk in the door, I'm right there, come down. I got coffee, water, popcorn. You only have to buy a card. Just come down and say, like, hey, I saw you on Wheels and Wisdom.
That'd be awesome. Sit down and just say that someone saw you. I would be very happy about that.
Come introduce yourself. I mean, like, I'm not from the area. Tell me about, like, best places to eat, like, whatever it is.
That's awesome. So now continue with the company that you work for. I want to talk a little bit about Dodge. Now, the first thing that pops in my mind is the new CEO. So he was the CEO.
Yes.
He retired.
Yes.
And then they said, please come back.
Yes.
and they called him and he came back. Yep. And the first thing he did just about was he said, why'd you get rid of the Hemi? Mm-hmm. We're putting that back in. Yep. So the Challenger Charger is keeping the six pack, yep. the twin turbo inline six, which sounds like a pretty wicked engine. So they're going to be keeping that. The electric ones are gone, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that car yet. We haven't gotten in on our lot yet.
You haven't? Okay. Yeah, I've been reading about it online. They've got an inline six with two turbos on it.
And I'm looking forward to seeing it, but we haven't seen it yet.
It's got like 550 horse and almost like, because it's got turbos, the torque is out of this world compared to the naturally aspirated V8, which was torquey, but not like when you strap a couple of turbos to it. The torque figure and horsepower are almost identical, which is pretty amazing. And it looks pretty decent. So the Hemi's not going in that yet. But first of all, that Hemi logo is ridiculous.
Isn't that nice?
I love that.
Isn't it?
I saw that when it popped up. I was like, what an excellent design. It's going in the trucks.
Yep.
And I hear, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, 10-year 100,000-mile drivetrain warranty. Have you heard of this yet?
Oh, no, I haven't. Is that serious?
Well, I don't know. I've read it, but you can't trust everything you read on the internet.
No.
So we may have to get you back.
I'd be excited to come back and
talk about this possibility because when I bought my Volkswagen and they had just gone through the diesel scandal where they lied about all the emissions and stuff like that, they gave a 6-year 72 bumper to bumper, which was unheard of.
Yeah.
And that's what mine had.
Yep.
And now Dodge is saying, we want our customers back and we want you guys buying Dodge products. Here's the potential of a 10-year 100,000-mile drivetrain. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, Hyundai does it, but in American cars, that's unheard of.
Yes. Well, to be really honest with you, like Dodge, like they really messed up like getting rid of that Hemi. I mean, I've had like two or three people like almost weekly coming in saying like how much they miss it. And like having that turbo on a gas engine, like it's just not what it needs to be.
It's not the same. No, because Ford made the 3.5 liter. My dad worked at Ford, so I know a little bit about Ford. He did 8 years there. So they made the 3.5 liter twin turbo and they made the 2.7 twin turbo V6. And I knew a guy that owned one and 90,000 miles, his turbos blew out and it's past warranty, thousands of dollars in work, and people love them, but it's a different animal.
100%. Yeah. And like, I'm familiar with turbos, like on diesel, like all of my tractor trailers, like had that turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Like it works fine for that.
But diesel turbos are like, I mean,
yeah.
In gas engine turbos, especially in the trucks, my dad calls them hair dryers.
Yeah.
They are little bitty things.
Yeah.
And they just spin up all day long.
Exactly. Well, the diesel ones do too, but like they actually are doing something.
Sure.
And so when the CEO left and they got rid of the Hemi, like it really damaged the brand heavily, and like I said, a lot of people were leaving, so I'm really excited for it to come back.
Yeah.
And also to come back like as strong as just like, hey guys, we're sorry we messed up. Have you seen their apology video on it?
No, I have not.
It's a good video. Okay. You should say, like, to have like those big companies like say, hey, we're sorry, we messed it up, but we're gonna make it right and we're gonna bring it back. And I don't know if it's true. Like I said, I'd love to, once we have it, we're going to be ordering them in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they're going to be here, but once it is, maybe I'll come back and we'll talk about it a little
September
bit.
Is a time. So anyone that's watching this or listening on the audio, September comes around, they can at least start to look at like pre-inventory stuff starting to come in.
I've heard we have one ordered, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I read online, again, you can't trust everything you see online, that when they first announced the Hemi return, they had 10,000 orders in 24 hours. People just said, yep, I'll take it. Thank you very much. And I don't know which Hemi, if it's the 5.7 or the 6.4, I don't know which one they're bringing back. I didn't read that much into it.
I don't know either.
But either way, we'll have to get you back to talk about which one they brought back to and what options, because they always had the 5.7, the 6.4.
Yep.
I've heard the Hellcat motor might be coming back. I've also heard the Durango is going to get a V8 Hemi as well.
Yes.
And so that's going to be pretty exciting to get the Durango back with the V8. The Challenger is going to keep the V6. The truck and the Durango get the V8 and possible Hellcat return. And I want to talk a little bit also when it comes to the Hellcat and that idea. Dodge used to be, when you think about racing, you've talked about track racing and everything else. You go back 2017. The Viper ACR is out. The most ridiculous vehicle we've ever seen made in America, in my opinion. And I remember reading a post from Motor Trend that a guy towed his ACR and he lost MPG because the downforce of the ACR was dragging his vehicle. So the ACR was crazy. I looked it up yesterday because I had to get my numbers right. It ran a 701 at the Nürburgring with 650 horse. And now, so many years later, 8 years later, Ford comes out with the GTD, which is street legal, and it runs a 652, I believe, or 650. Yeah, I think 652. And then Chevy makes the 1,000 horsepower ZR1 and ZR1X with the all-wheel drive. That runs a 650 and a 649 without a race car driver. And everyone that is a race car driver that watches the video says, I could shave 10 seconds off that. So Dodge used to be number one track attack. Now that we got the new CEO back, and now that Chevy and Ford have caught up and surpassed that Viper number, which they hadn't done until then, do you see any chance at all that this CEO saying, I'm getting back in the game, I'm going to bring the Viper back?
Well, I don't, short answer is I don't know. But to prolong that a little bit more, Stellantis is doing really cool things with both like Dodge especially, but also like Jeep. So we're bringing back the Cherokee.
Oh,
and then because we had the Cherokee for the longest time. I don't remember what year we got rid of it. And then you had to go to either a Grand Cherokee, which is a size up, or the Compass, which is a size down.
Oh, the in-between spot. Okay.
The in-between was gone and stopped making it. And so that's coming back. And then we're also bringing back the Jeep Renegade.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if we're bringing back the Viper, though. I haven't heard anything on it. I mean, obviously I work there, get some insider on it. They haven't told us anything yet about it. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Sure.
Truthfully.
So if
it might be like a 2027, 2028 kind of thing.
Oh, I believe that.
They might like really like try to put some stuff in it, but I'm really enjoying how the CEO is coming in, you know, both fists out, just like, hey.
He's swinging.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope he really leans into, like, making a presence with it.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, a car is an extension of you. And I get kind of sick and tired of, like, these modern cars all kind of look the same, to be honest.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, like, obviously there's the Ford, and, like, you can pick them out.
Yeah, but side profiles and back profiles, you take away the badges.
100%.
It can be challenging. I agree.
It really can.
It's something to stand out. And I'm wondering, since you like your truck so much, I read that the emissions on engines and diesels is gone. I don't want to get super political, but I had read that the government had cut that. Have you heard about that?
This is new to me. Well, okay. I still have friends in like trucking and stuff.
Sure.
And so I thought I would hear about this, but I'm going to have to look at this later.
They have those EGR, is that right? Those stupid valves that recirculate the exhaust in the diesels and they clog up and they get carboned up. I'm trying to remember what they're called.
I want to say like called. The DEF.
That could be.
Yes.
So either way, it clogs it up. And that was part of the emissions thing. And I've heard they got rid of that. And if they said no more emissions on these diesel engines, we may be going back to the 80s where these things never died.
I hope so. I hope if we bring back the 80s, I want like the 80s hair too.
Parachute pants, get the whole thing.
Like we need to like get rid of like auto-tune and stuff and just go back to like synthesizers.
You got to actually learn how to sing.
Yeah. Exactly.
And along with Dodge, I know I want to jump back to the Viper for just a second. If you were the CEO and you were given the somebody the green light, and you were, and you said, I want to build that Viper. Here's kind of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. How would you do it? So Viper was manual only, and mm-hmm. always manual only. Mm-hmm. It had a V10, but the V10 was underpowered mm-hmm. in today's market, not back then, but 650 horse, unless you're Porsche.
Yeah.
Cause Porsche is crazy. It's just not going to do it in today's market. You're going to need like 800 probably to be decent. So would you take that V10 and then just give it a little extra juice, whether you build it up a little bit? It goes from 8.4 to 9 liters. Mm-hmm. You throw two tiny turbos on it, which people put turbos on all the time. Or would you be more interested in grabbing like the Demon 170,000 horsepower mm-hmm. engine, throw that in there, and then just arrow the hell out of it
sure.
and watch it go? Where? What's your preference? Where would you be?
To be honest, though, and I hope it doesn't happen, but with the advancements of like, what's the name of it? The electric Dodge Charger that came out. I'm hoping he doesn't go that route.
Oh, I hope not. Cause it failed pretty miserably.
Yeah.
And the resale value is horrible and people can't sell them. They can't even give them away practically. No. Do you have any on your lot?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
Maple and I don't want one.
And then they made that.
I want to see one come into town so I can like test drive it, and then I just want it to keep driving.
I mean, it'd be fun for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
because the instant torque and stuff, mm-hmm. and then after a while with that fake exhaust note and everything, you'd be like, okay, I'm done.
I think for the CEO to do like the safe route is to, and again, I don't know what safety or insurance or like however any of this would go, and like I don't know what rules and regulations or hoops he'd have to jump through, mm-hmm. But he needs to make it as classic and as aggressive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like really come back and say like, hey guys, here's the Viper.
The Viper,
and
was
I don't know what that looks like.
That was
like
a real aggressive long gears, heavy clutch. I mean, you stuck your foot out to get out and you touched the exhaust and you burned yourself.
Exactly.
That was,
exactly. And so like for me, I'm really scared. Like I hope he doesn't do the EV route.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he comes back and says like, this is what you wanted. Like, well, this is the car you wanted.
The Viper right now, obviously, it's gone up in value because they're gone. They're like $250,000 for an ACR. So if you take that kind of number with the GTDs, like $350,000, $400,000, the ZR1s somewhere around the $300,000 mark, you take that kind of number, if you get an electric car, I'm going to go get that ZR1 or the GTD. I'm not even going to think. Electric Vipers comes out. It's faster around the track. I don't care.
No, no. And don't you dare put that speaker in its exhaust. don't you even think about
it. And they'll make sure it goes on the side so you can hear it all the time.
Exactly. I mean, like honestly, though, I want... It looks like Dodge and Stellantis is coming back pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we're bringing it back. This is what you guys wanted. And we're going to keep to it. And we're going to do really, really good. We had a lot of issues. Like, I know people complain about Jeep transmissions. Fixed. We're done.
That's
like,
awesome.
Thing of the past. Like, we're going to try and stay true to what we have and go build from there instead of, like, keep pumping out, like, new stuff. Obviously, we're going to keep pumping out new stuff and new things.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the, you know, 2025 Jeep Summit Reserve has got absolutely insane features to it, and I'm not turning this into a marketing thing.
No, go ahead.
I'm
please.
Just turning it into, like,
because I don't know what the Summit Reserve is. That a package or is that a vehicle?
It's a Grand Cherokee, and then the Summit Reserve's the package.
Okay,
And again, I'm not turning this into an advertisement.
That's okay. I don't know anything about the Summit Reserve package, so tell me what.
I know very little things about it.
What do you know about it? What does it consist of?
Well, for one, what's really really cool about it, it's got the night vision.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
On the dash, which has been my favorite part about it.
Has Dodge ever had night vision before?
I don't know.
I can't think. I don't think they have.
I didn't know that it existed in a vehicle until Jeep.
Oh, see, Porsche had it back when I worked at the dealer. It was like when it first started to come out, the really expensive. Oh, 18?
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
I want to say the Panamera showed up, and I remember they talked about night vision, and I think the S-Class had it too, if I remember right. Your headlights had to be on, and there was a system on your dash, and it could pick out like something moving. It would turn it red for you.
Oh,
so
really?
So you knew, oh, there's something over there. I need to slow down like a deer or something. So the fact that Dodge and Jeep are now offering that, because I think the Escalade offers that, But that's a $100-something thousand vehicle. Yeah. To have that in kind of everyday person's-ish range.
It is kind of everyday. I think the Summit Reserves, if I believe as far as our package goes, is like $73,000.
But in today's market, that's not miserable.
No,
it's not. You think about what you're getting.
No, which I'm kind of scared to see what the price tag on these new Dodge, on these new Rams, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. My next question that I want to throw at you, and I want to make sure I get my writing correctly here, because it's hard for me to look at this for a second. So you've talked about all the vehicles that they've added. I want to go back in Dodge's history. We've already talked about the Viper, but in your mind, you're going to grab a vehicle out of Dodge's history and you're going to bring it into the modern day, and you're going to have that vehicle on sale. Mm-hmm. So the Neon SRT4, that was kind of a cool little vehicle for what it was.
It was niche, but yeah. It was for what it was.
The Caliber.
I don't know the Caliber.
It's like a goofy-looking hatchback-looking thing.
Okay.
But they made an SRT version of that, too.
Okay.
And I've seen one in, like, the past 3 years. Sure. But it's in, yeah, and they're, again, pretty decent. What else can we think of from Dodge's past? The straight-six engine, the 4-liter out of the Wranglers.
Okay.
Do you remember those from way back? Okay. My uncle had one, and they were just bulletproof.
Yep.
So what's your vehicle going into Dodge's past, and you're going to bring something into modern day? Mm-hmm. What would be your vehicle? What comes to you?
Gosh, honestly, it would probably be my old truck. Like, truthfully. Yeah. And not just because of, like, it's a special place for me. It is, but that inline slant six engine is what I want back. You can put it in anything. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what it goes into. But I just want that again.
In modern day stuff, with how high the towing capacities are, would you turbocharge that? And then
I don't know what it would need, honestly.
Okay, fair enough.
Probably not, to be real. I think I would put that into like a sedan kind of thing. Nothing really like heavy duty or stuff. Something just kind of like puttering around. Definitely not a truck. I would not bring that into a modern day truck. It didn't have a lot of power back then, and a modernized version of it, I can't imagine, would be any better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just
a straight six instead of a V6 in a town and country would be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
You have to stretch out the front end a bit, but it wouldn't be miserable.
No, truthfully, what I want back is like more of like that square body design. Mm-hmm. Like if I have to pick one thing, yes, it matters what's under the hood. 100%. And it matters like the packages of like the interior and stuff, but like for me, I want to see cars again. Mm-hmm. I want to see trucks again. I want to see things that like
the old school.
Yeah. Like if we're talking about like reaching into the past and pulling out something historic, mm-hmm. I want a square body look again.
Do you know what the new Dodges with the Hemi are going to look like? Do you have
No.
Oh, you don't? Maybe.
No.
Hopefully they square it off a little bit. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, I hope so. Again, sorry to be kind of like that Ford Chevy guy a little bit, but like I really like the Chevy looks, which like, it's kind of more squared off. It's not fully there, but I do like that like blockiness sort of, and I really would like to see that again. Not just in trucks though, but also in like the Chargers and the Challengers, and like seeing more of like that muscle car coming back.
The new ones, the pictures I've seen around, they do have a little more of that boxy look. In the rear now they have in like a hatch, which is interesting. I saw one that opened up, and it doesn't have like a normal.
Was that the EV?
No, this was the V straight six.
Okay.
And it didn't have a normal trunk. It opened. Have you seen like an Audi A7 kind of back where the whole rear window lifts up?
Oh, and
the whole,
yeah.
It's got that.
Ugh.
Which,
sorry. Sorry. Dodge, I just can't imagine.
You were so close, Dodge. You got the heavy back, and then you had to add in this. I mean, it's spacious.
Was that when the old CEO was gone?
No, this is supposed to be the newer one. This has got the
one that came back?
Yeah, this is supposed to be like the straight six.
All right, so he didn't do everything right.
No, he kept the same body and just kind of said, I'm not redoing that. I'll wait till maybe next year I'll give it a facelift and go back to a trunk look again. But yeah, it's interesting. I've never seen a Dodge that looked like that. I was like, oh, that's new.
Yeah. I mean, take risks. honestly. Yeah. Like, when you're in this industry, like, really go out there and, like, try to make something memorable. Mm-hmm. And don't just, like, cookie cutter what every other dealership's doing. Whatever, not dealership, what every other company is doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, really go out there and, like, you know, is it a look I like? No. Would I get it? No. But I do respect the change and, like, the risk they took going, like, hey, we'll try it.
Sure.
We'll learn from it.
Right. But you'll try it. That's what matters. The last question I have for you, which goes back to your wisdom and your opinions, mm-hmm. is, in your mind, how can we improve our car community? How can we make it better, not only for us, mm-hmm. for our future generation, for the generation that's coming into cars? In your mind, how can we improve?
Mm-hmm. How can we improve it? So, see, I don't know if this is something that, like, makes car people, or if it, like, hinders them.
Well, it's your opinion.
It is my opinion.
Whatever you think.
But I really think, like, kind of, like, brand loyalty, in a way, can, like, really hurt, like, people getting into it. And like, when you're old school, like, yeah, that's your thing,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, being a young guy getting up into it and, like, only having access to, like, certain vehicles and, like, not having access to others. And, like, sure. It's like, oh, you're a Chevy guy. It's like, well, I only had a Chevy.
Right. My dad owned a Chevy. If I bring a Ford home, I'm not coming to Christmas.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, like, for me, it's, like, letting people just really, like, love cars, mm-hmm. and get into it and showing that support, whatever that looks like, whether that's, like, truthfully, I think we need to bring shop class back.
Yeah, I agree.
Like getting that into like people's hearts or like young kids' hearts again. Of like, there's something magical about like, and I don't know like how you guys did it, but there's something magical about like a broken down car comes in, and you've got a whole school year to put it to life.
See, my school never offered shop. I missed that whole thing, and I missed it by 2 years, and it kills me because I would have loved every minute of that. And now they brought it back, but in the time I was there, I missed it, and that sucks for me because I agree that'd be fun. And it's kind of nice to have a car enthusiast that can open the hood and say, here's what I've done, here's what I did, instead of bringing a brand new vehicle, open hood, and going ta-da. And that's just kind of
and truthfully, I think that's the wisdom in like Wheels and Wisdom is like being that guy who shares it and passes the torch forward to like the next group of people.
Absolutely. Cause
like, let's all be honest. Like when you guys like custom build a car, I don't know. Have you ever like custom done anything to yours?
It's got a few bits on it. It's got a colder intake. It's got an intercooler. It's got a spoiler from Germany. I threw in the back of it. That makes it stand out a little more.
Yep.
Yeah, that was about it. But it is, if you park it next to any other Golf R's, you would say, okay, something's different about that. But that's about it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like you pulled from someone in Germany passed that torch to you,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying. And you get to pass that torch on, whether it's like, you know, a 6-year-old kid on his bicycle going down the street and he sees your car. It's like, I like that. And that sticks with him.
So I've got a story for you on that, if you don't mind me sharing a story for you. So I went to Beaver Dam Cars and Coffee, and this was 2 years ago now, and it was all muscle cars, and then the Volkswagen at the end. And then thankfully a Ferrari showed up, an older, there's a 360 showed up, and that guy was pretty cool.
Sure.
But it was all American cars, and then just this German car. And I met this 10-year-old kid. I still have his phone number, and I still keep in touch with him. He's 12, 13 now. And he saw that, and his dad's a huge Volkswagen fan. He knew exactly what that was. And most people look at it and go, oh, it's a GTI. Well, it's not. It's not a GTI. It's different. It's got many differences. And he saw and knew what it was. As soon as he got his eye on it, and as soon as he knew what it was, I put myself in 10-year-old body and said, what would I want done for me? Threw him in the driver's seat, had him start it up, had him rev it up, and it's got Borla exhaust too, so it sounds a little throatier.
And he
revved it up, and then I took him for a spin around the block, and he had a great time. I think he's going to go home, and if he's a C student, he's now an A student.
Yeah.
Because he's thinking, I want that, and 100%. I'm going to go after that. And I agree with you, because if you could pass that torch, and you can get these kids, because I've heard I can't tell you how many stories of people that say, no, you can't sit in my car.
Yeah.
No, you can't. I don't want you around it.
Oh, it's going to get dirty?
Right.
Like you eating McDonald's in your car is going to make it any dirtier.
Exactly.
Like Pat. So to answer your question, pass that torch, whatever that looks like. Like your love for it, don't let it die with you.
Absolutely. Bring that passion, 100%. Pass it on to everyone else. 100%. Let that passion grow and watch the next generation when you're in your 40s and 50s and you're bringing your car to the show. That generation's going to know what it is because people like you and I were able to talk to them, teach them, get them into it, and now they're showing up with their stuff, teaching us something new.
Yep. You want to be in your 40s and 50s and still have car meets.
Mm-hmm.
And still have truck pulls and demolition derbies or whatever it is.
Yeah, we need that passion.
100%.
Yes, we do, no matter what that looks like. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. Again, everyone listening and watching, this is Clayton Schell from Napleton Dodge in Beaver Dam. If you're in the area, go stop by, go say hi. And if you're looking to buy a Dodge, buy it from him and him only. Because if someone else comes on from Dodge, we'll make an exception. But until then, you go check this guy out. And if you're listening online, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. And until next time, we'll see you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tyler.